శ్రీ సాయి సచ్చరిత్ర ద వండర్ఫుల్ లైఫ్ అండ్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ సాయిబాబా చాప్టర్ 22 రెస్క్యూ ఫ్రమ్ సర్పెంట్ బైట్స్ నంబర్ 1 బాలాసాహెబ్ మిరికర్ నంబర్ 2 బాపు సాహెబ్ బూటి నంబర్ 3 అమీర్ సక్కర్ నంబర్ 4 హేమాత్ పంత్ బాబాస్ ఒపీనియన్ రిగార్డింగ్ కిల్లింగ్ ఆఫ్ సర్పెంట్స్ ప్రిలిమినరీ How to meditate on Baba? No one has been able to fathom the nature or the form of Almighty. Even the Vedas and the thousand-tongued Shesha are not capable to describe it fully. The devotees also cannot know but only look at the form of the Lord, for they know that His feet are their only refuge. They know no other method of attaining the supreme goal of life except meditating on the holy feet. Hemat Pant suggests an easy way of devotion and meditation as follows. As the dark fortnight of every month wears out gradually, the moonlight also wanes in the same degree, and on the new moon day, we do not see the new moon at all. Therefore, when the bright fortnight begins, people are very anxious to see the moon. On the first day, the moon is not seen, and on the second day, she emerges as a thin crescent. Then the people are asked to see the moon through the opening between the two branches of a tree. And when they begin to see through this aperture eagerly, the distant small crescent of the moon comes to their sight. Following this instance, let us see Baba's form. Look at Baba's posture. How fine it is. He is sitting with his legs folded, the right leg held across the left knee. The fingers of his left hand are spread on the right foot. On the toe are spread his two fingers, the index and the middle ones. By his posture, Baba seemed to say, "If you want to see my true form, be egoless and most humble and meditate on my toe through the opening between index and the middle fingers, and then you'll be able to see my light." Now, let us turn to Baba's life. Shirdi has become a place of pilgrimage on account of Baba's stay there. People from all quarters began to flock there, and both the rich and the poor began to be benefited in more ways than one. Who can describe Baba's boundless love and his wonderful knowledge and his all-pervasiveness? Blessed is he who could experience this. Sometimes Baba observed long silence, which was in a way his dissertation on Brahma. At other times he was pure consciousness, bliss incarnate, surrounded by his devotees. Sometimes he spoke in parables, and at other times indulged in wit and humor. At times he was quite calm, and at times he seemed enraged. Sometimes he gave his teachings in a nutshell, and at other times he argued at length. Many a time he was very direct. In this way, he gave varied instructions to many, according to the requirement. His life was therefore inscrutable beyond the ken of our mind, intellect and speech. Our longing to see his face, to talk with him and hear his leelas was never satisfied. Still, we were overflowing with joy. We can gauge the showers of rain, capture the wind in a leather bag, but who can measure his leelas? Now, we deal here with one aspect of them, that is, how we anticipated or forestalled the calamities of his devotees and warned them in time. Om Shri Sai. Bala Saheb Mirikar, son of Sardar Kaka Saheb Mirikar, was Mamlatar of Kopargaon. He was going on tour to Chitali. On the way, he came to Shirdi to see Sai Baba. When he went to the masjid and prostrated himself before the Baba, the usual conversation regarding health and other matters commenced. When Baba sounded a note of warning, "Do you know our Dwarka Mai?" As Bala Saheb did not understand, he kept quiet. Baba continued, "This is our Dwarka Mai, where you are sitting. She wards off all dangers and anxieties of the children who sit on her lap. This Masjid Mai, its presiding deity, is very merciful. She is the merciful mother of the simple devotees, whom she will save in calamities. Once a person sits on her lap, all his troubles are over. He who rests in her shade gets bliss. Then Baba gave him Udi and placed his hand on his head. When Bala Sahib was about to depart, he again said, "Do you know the Lamba Baba, long gentleman, that is serpent?" And then, closing the left fist, he brought it under the right elbow and moving his left arm like the hood of a serpent said, "He is so terrible that what can he do to the children of Dwarkamai? When the Dwarkamai, its presiding deity, protects, what can the serpent do?" All who were present there were curious to know the meaning of all this and its reference to Mirikar. But none had the courage to ask Baba about this. Then Bala Sahib saluted Baba and left the masjid with Shama. Baba called Shama back and asked him to accompany Bala Sahib and enjoy the Chitali trip. Shama came to Bala Sahib and told him that he would go with him, according to Baba's wish. Bala Sahib replied that he need not come as it would be inconvenient. Shama returned to Baba and told him what Bala Sahib said to him. Baba said, "All right, do not go. We should mean well and do well. Whatever is destined to happen will happen." In the meanwhile, Bala Sahib thought over again and calling Shama asked him to accompany him. Then Shama went again to Baba and after taking his leave started with Bala Sahib in the Tonga. They reached Chitali at 9 p.m. and encamped in the Maruti temple. The office people had not come, so they sat in the temple talking and chit-chatting. Bala Sahib was sitting on a mat reading a newspaper. His uparani, that is upper dhotra, was spread across his waist and on it was a snake was sitting unnoticed. It began to move with a hissing sound which was heard by the peon. He brought a lantern, saw the snake and raised an alarm, "Serpent, serpent." Bala Sahib was frightened and began to quiver. Shama was also stunned. Then he and others moved quickly and took sticks and clubs in their hands. The snake got slowly down the waist and moved away from Bala Sahib and was immediately done to death. Thus, this calamity which was prophesied by Baba was averted and Bala Sahib's devotion in Baba was confirmed. Om Shri Sai, Bapu Sahib Bhuti. A great astrologer named Nana Sahib Dengle told Bapu Sahib Bhuti, who was then in Shirdi, "Today is an inauspicious day for you. There is danger to your life." This made Bapu Sahib restless. When they as usual came to Masjid, Baba said to Bapu Sahib, "What does this Nana say? He foretells death for you? Well, you need not be afraid. Tell him, let us see how death kills." Then later in the evening, Bapu Sahib went to his privy for easing himself, where he saw a snake. His servant saw it and lifted a stone to strike at it. Bapu Sahib asked him to get a big stick, but before the servant returned with the stick, the snake was seen moving away and soon disappeared. Bapu Sahib remembered Baba's words of fearlessness. Om Shri Sai, Amir Sakkar. Amir Sakkar was a native of the village Korhale in Kopargaon Taluk. He belonged to the butcher caste. He worked as a commission agent in Bandra, that is Mumbai, and was well known there. He once suffered from rheumatism, which gave him much pain. He then remembered Allah, God, left his business and went to Shirdi and prayed to Baba to relieve him from his malady. Baba then stationed him in the Chavadi. The Chavadi was then a damp, unhealthy place, unfit for such a patient. Any other place in the village or Korale itself would have been better for Amir. But Baba's words was the command, the chief medicine. Baba did not allow him to come to the masjid, but fixed him in the Chavadi every morning and evening. Every alternate day, Baba went to the Chavadi in a procession and slept there. So Amir got Baba's contact very often. Amir stayed there for full 9 months and then he got a disgust for the place. So one night he left the place and came to Kopargaon and stayed in a dharmashala. There he saw an old dying fakir who asked him for water. Amir brought it and gave it to him. As soon as he drank it, he passed away. Now Amir was in a fix. He thought that if he went and informed the authorities, he would be held responsible for the death. As he was the first and the sole informant and knew something about it, he repented for his action, that is, leaving Shirdi without Baba's permission, and prayed to Baba. He then determined to return to Shirdi, and same night he retreated, remembering and muttering Baba's name all the way, and reached Shirdi before daybreak and became free from anxiety. Then he lived in the Chavadi in perfect accordance with Baba's wishes and orders and got himself cured. One night it so happened that Baba cried at midnight, "O Abdul, some devilish creature is dashing against the side of my bed." Abdul came with a lantern, examined Baba's bed but found nothing. Baba asked him to examine carefully all the place and began to strike the ground with his satka. Seeing this leela of Baba, Amir thought that Baba might have suspected some serpent there. Amir could know by close contact with Baba the meaning of his words and actions. Baba then saw near Amir's cushion something moving. He asked Abdul to bring in the light, and when he brought it, he saw the serpent coiled up there, moving its head up and down. Thereupon, the serpent was immediately beaten to death. Thus Baba gave timely warning and saved Amir's life. Om Shri Sai. Hematpant, Scorpion and Serpent. At Baba's recommendation, Kaka Sahib Dikshit was daily reading the two works of Sri Ekanath Maharaj, that is, Bhagavat and Bhavrat Ramayan, and Hematpant had the good fortune to be one of the audience. When the reading of the work was going on, once when a portion from the Ramayana relating to Hanuman's testing Rama's greatness according to his mother's instructions was being read, all the listeners were spellbound. Hematpant was one of them. A big scorpion, none knew where it came from, jumped and sat on the right shoulder of Hematpant on his uprani, that is, upper dhotra. First, it was not noticed, but as the Lord protects those who are intent on hearing his stories, he casually cast a glance over his right shoulder and noticed it. It was dead silent, not a bit moving here or there. It seemed as if it also enjoyed the reading. Then, by the God's grace, Hematpant, without disturbing the audience, took the two ends of his dhotar, folded them and brought them together, enclosing the scorpion within. Then he went out and threw it into the garden. On another occasion, some persons were sitting in the upper floor of Kaka Sahib's wada. Just before nightfall, when a serpent crept through a hole in the window frame and sat coiled up, a light was brought. Though it was first dazzled, yet it sat still and moved its head up and down. Then many persons rushed there with sticks and cudgels, but as it sat in an awkward place, no blow could be dealt. But hearing the noises of men, the serpent went out hastily through the same hole. Then all the persons present there felt relieved. Om Shri Sai. Baba's opinion. One devotee named Muktaram then said that it was good that the poor creature escaped. Hematpant challenged him, saying that the serpent should better be killed. There was a hot discussion between them, the former contending that serpents and such creatures should not be killed, the latter that they should be. As night came on, the discussion came to an end without any decision being arrived at. Next day, the question was referred to Baba, who gave his settled opinion as follows: God lives in all beings and creatures, whether they be serpents or scorpions. He is the great whirlpooler of the world, and all beings, serpents, scorpions, etc., obey his command. Unless he wills it, nobody can do any harm to others. The world is all dependent on him, and no one is independent. So we should take pity and love all creatures, leave off killing, and be patient. The Lord God is the protector of all. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all.